There is something about people who persevere and stay with something that inspires us, especially at this time of the year. And we think back to those people, those men and women who went the distance for the cause of liberty and freedom. And we are still moved by those words that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we love the inspiration that we gain from our heroes. We are, I suspect, still moved by a 4th of July parade and celebration. We love the inspiration and commitment that it engenders in our hearts. This morning, I want us to affirm our dependence on God. The most important thing that we can do as we approach Independence Day 2017, our 241st, I believe, is to keep faith in God. A God whose reality or definition of reality will last when this country exists no more. Isaiah 40 through 66 are all about God. It's often called the comfort section of the book of Isaiah. And what Isaiah says about God is summarized in the text that was read this morning. And let's read that text once again. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 9. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, here, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Three things the prophet says here about God. Number one, he comes. Writing to people living in Babylonian captivity, and perhaps they wondered if God would really come. But God did come to rescue his people out of Babylon, and God came in the person of Jesus Christ to rescue us from the power of sin. God came. He came, he rescued his people then. He came in the person of his Son to rescue us. But number two, he rules. People in captivity perhaps thought that God had lost his power. And Isaiah spends most of chapter 40 talking about God's remarkable power, how it is incomparable, how it cannot be matched by anyone or anything else. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Isn't that a comforting passage? How many of us become weary? How many of us in here become tired? We all do. But we have a God, Isaiah says, who does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The issue here seems to be one of control. Most of us want control in our lives. And God comes and he says to the people there at that time, as well as to all of us today, I will rule. I am in charge. God rules. Then Isaiah says that he cares. The people in captivity thought that God did not care. Perhaps he had forsaken them. Why would God allow this to happen to his people? But Isaiah uses the wonderful image to depict this caring aspect of God, that of a shepherd, and we are his sheep. He will feed his flock. He will take care of their needs. He will gather the young in his arms. He indeed cares for them. That's the God that we are completely dependent upon. He comes, He rules, He cares. And we declare our dependence on God for our definition of life. We declare our dependence upon God for guidance in life and clarity about purpose. We declare our dependence on God for direction in life. And let me conclude with four things that I do believe really matter. Number one, creation. Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Every time I read that, for He spoke and it was done, I always think of the E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, what? People listen. Let me tell you something. When God speaks, we need to listen and to be responsive to what God tells us to do. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And then Genesis 1 reminds us, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God created us in His image. And there is only there where we find our self-worth and our self-value. And I want to remind us all that our self-worth, our value, is neither conferred or withheld by other people. No one can make you feel inferior without your permission. You were created in the image of God. That tells me that everyone here has value, has worth, has purpose. That's already been settled. And I know that can be a struggle at times for individuals, for young people. But I just want to remind you that you were created in the very image of God. God has declared that you have value, that you have worth. And so creation is one of those things that really matters. And then the cross. People were so important to God that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. John, in his remarks this morning, mentioned from Romans chapter 5, but it's a powerful passage here about God's love. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross. The cross is what really matters. And what happened there at the cross. And so we must continually keep our focus on the cross. Keep our focus on Jesus Christ at all times. And never forget that tremendous love that He had for every one of us. But I think a third thing that really matters is the church. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He created or carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church was a part of God's eternal purpose. It was not some afterthought in God's mind, but it was a part of God's eternal purpose. It was prophesied, it was planned, it was purpose, and then it was established. And the church, because it was purchased with the very blood of Christ, must be something that has priority for us as well. And then I believe the Great Commission is something that really matters as well. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Here are Jesus' final words to us, to go and to preach the gospel to all the nations, because every single person on this earth matters to God. And so that is our commission. Those are our orders. And so I think the alls in this passage are interesting. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. You baptize them. You teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then I have to kind of squeeze this last all. But lo, I'm with you all. Okay, always, even to the end of the age. You know, that promise is really meaningful because as I go out there and try to share the gospel with others, I must remember the promise that Jesus made here. I'm going to be with you. As you go, therefore, and try to make disciples of all the nations, and you teach them, and you baptize them, and you teach them to observe what I've commanded you, do not forget that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So his promise to be with us always. I remember one sister in Christ kind of tickled me one time, and she said, Brother Allen, you know the reason I do not fly? I said, no. Are you afraid to fly? Well, yes. But the reason is what Jesus said. And lo, I am with you always. I said, well, that's L-O. That's not L-O-W. But that was her, because his promise was, and lo, I am with you. So she took that, he's with us while I stay low. But no, that's a promise that I will be with you always, even to the close of the age. So I believe that the best thing we can do for our culture is to lift up this everlasting God, our belief in this God. We declare our belief in him. And the God that we proclaim is the everlasting God. He is, as we read from Psalm 33, the creator of the ends of the earth. I'm thankful for the Declaration of Independence, for the freedom of liberty, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm thankful for those 56 people who initially signed that document, and for all the men and women who have paid the price for the freedom that we enjoy. But there is something more important to me, and that is the glory of Almighty God. And I am thankful today that he came and that he rules and that he cares. And what really matters is the creation and the cross and the church and that commission. If anyone here this morning needs to make their declaration of dependence upon God in terms of coming and trusting faith with a repentant spirit, with a willingness to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then to be buried with him in the waters of baptism, we would delight in your coming and making that decision this morning. If anyone here desires the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. If there's any way that we can encourage you, to help you, we are here to try to do our very best. So if anyone needs to respond to the invitation today, would you please come right now as we stand together and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary?